Yeah, we have a very honored guest today. Yeah. Have you noticed? Okay. Yeah. 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 Thank you. I don't have another copy of the Mishnah Berurah, but you know something?
It's okay.
Okay. So yesterday we discussed what the Mishnah Berurah mentions over here in Sivkot and Beis. Mishnah Berurah brings, and we also even cited from the Piskei Tshuvos, a lengthier list of Dvarim HaKoshim L'Shicha. So we'll just mention a number of them again. A person who goes ahead and uses his clothes as a pillow to lean on, or as a blanket. He rolls his clothing into a ball and uses it as a pillow. That's one example that the Mishnah Berurah gives. He cites a second example. A person puts on two pieces of clothing. The Mishnah Berurah writes here, Tzivkot and Beis, V'chein Yizorah, Mililbo, Shneim Balbushim, Yachad Bepam Achas, Kikosha L'Shicha. Now, the truth is that a lot of this is Al Pi HaKabbalah. But yesterday, we discussed the Chakira, and we indicated relatively clearly, the question was, is this an Isur Meikra Adin, that a person, if he doesn't follow carefully these directives, he's going to be Mshakeach Talmudo, he'll forget his learning, or is this an Eitzah Tova Kamashvala? So we brought a Raya Mukhachas, not our Raya, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita brings the Raya from Sefer Chassidim, and the others bring other Rayas as well, that it's not Meikra Adin. It's probably not even an Isur D'Rabbanan, but at best, it's an Eitzah Tova Kamashvala. We also mentioned the Gemara Menachos, the test, and we also discussed the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, that a person who forgets his learning. So the Mishnah at the end concludes, the maskana of the Mishnah is, Enu chayev at sheyasira milibo. Now the only time a person will be liable for three lavim, and the psukim that are quoted are in Bo Eschanan, Petishkach esadvar masharo einecho ben yesum bevavcho kolim echayecho, yom asher amadu nehashem alokecho bechorei. So only if a person does an act of hasara milibo b'mezid will a person be chayev for three lavim. We quoted from the Sefer Agan, which is an early Rishon in the 1300s, he said that a person who engages in ribui achilo shtia also is in violation of these three lavim. But we indicated that it requires an act of hasar b'leiv. What's called an act of hasar b'leiv? If a person doesn't review the Torah that he learned, if a person doesn't spend time toiling, spending and exerting a lot of effort and expending a lot of energy in order to be able to learn, so then that would be called an act of hasar b'leiv. But here we're talking about all types of what are considered to be inyanim sguliyim. And therefore, it's clear from the Sefer Chassidim and from others that there's no Isur Meikra Adin, and we're talking about an Eitzah Tova Kamashmalon. It's something which is a good thing, that one should not do any of these things that is Meshakeach Talmudo. And I actually yesterday went looking I find a lot of material in the Piskei Tshuvos, because he's Malaki from Gdolei Achronim. And I don't have access to those Achronim, to be honest. But he quotes from a whole series of Achronim who indicate that one should try l'chatchila to be nizar in all of these inyanim. But as I pointed out, that the Ikra Adin, one doesn't have to be concerned about it, and it's not even considered to be an Isur D'Rabbanan, but it's a Dabar Tov. And we also mentioned yesterday, was quoted later on, in Shulchan Sim Kufayin, namely that there are things that are mechadei nizikara, such as Chazara, such as learning besimcha, such as verbally, one should articulate one's learning. The Gemara in Erevin, ki chayim nein lemotzeiem, al tikin lemotzeiem lemotzeiem bepeh. One should, when one learns, one should verbalize it. One should say it out loud. They actually, many years ago, someone showed me, they somehow, I don't know how they were able to do this, but I guess it's not Akasha. They got almost a 10-minute video of Rav Eliashiv, the Chadri Chadorim. That's some sort of a tochnit, I don't know what it is. But anyway, but they got him b'chad b'chadorim, learning. And once in a while getting a sefer from the shelf, from the Aron HaSfarim, maybe you saw that. But anyway, the entire time Rav Eliashiv learned b'kol rum, with the nigin. The entire 10 minutes that we saw, and I assume that's what he did the entire day. He learned the Hisbalus, he learned by himself for many, many years. But he learned the kol rum, and that's something that one should try one's best to do. It's not an easy thing to nurture, to cultivate, but those are among the things that are ma'oriyah de zikara, that a person is able to remember something more effectively. And there are other methodologies to remember something more effectively. Namely, one says a shir, namely, one writes it out, namely one tries to organize it in a systematic kind of fashion. All these are dvarim, shemaorim, esazikaron. That's what something what one should do to the extent that one can. So I'll just mention a number of questions that were raised by people who are not here anymore, at least today. But anyway, they raised these questions with me, so I went looking yesterday to see exactly if the Achronim actually relate to these some of these issues. For example, someone asked me, is it only my own clothing? When it says here, if I use my own clothing as a pillow, what about if I take someone else's clothing? So I assume we're talking about with permission, where you borrowed someone's begotten with permission in order to use it for this purpose, for the purpose of of a pillow. Or for that matter, if someone sleeps on the table and falls asleep on his beged, came out every day. So I take one of these, what they call power naps. You simply feel sleep is overcoming you, so you simply do a kind of the feel asapayim, as it were, right then and there. And a half hour later, you're in business, look at the going rights of the pasuk of Yashanti Oz Yanduach Li. If I sleep for Oz, Alav Zayin, 8 hours, Yanduach Li, it works for 40. It's found actually in the biography of the Gaon of Vilna by Landui. Very beautiful biography. The Gaon of Vilna. I think it's printed in English as well. Anyway, the question is that cool falling asleep on a beged? So I had to start looking around, and I found in the Salmas Chaim, it's a sefer that I happen to own, by Chaim, Chaim Zunufeld. So he actually asked this kasha, and he said no, because if the Gaon are attached, and if the Gaon are attached, then this Halach is not applicable. I mean, it's very hard to know what the parameters of this din are that the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here. But he says that the begadim that are attached to me are batel to me, are batel to the begadim that I'm wearing, etc. So it's not called sleeping yom malbushim. And even another question which was also raised yesterday, it's also people often once they become concerned about these halachas, and then they start asking pratim apirte pratim. Here in this din, that if a person goes ahead and wears two malbushim, that's what Mishnah Berurah quotes, Yizoya Mililbosh Beis Malbushim Yachad Bepamachas Kishol Kosher Lashicha. So now the question is, what about removing, when you're taking off your clothing, is there also a chumrah that one should be machmir, lo lifshot shnei malbushim biyachad, not to take off two articles of clothing at the same time? So again, the pashup shot, even though one could be machmir, and there are people who are machmir, but it would seem that when it comes to dvarim sguliyim, and these items, as I said, are dvarim sguliyim, they're not ofen ekroni, they're not halachas that are so fundamental, and I mentioned there's not even isul rabbanon involved, the pashtos that ain't tzorech lehosif al mashaniska b'poskim, there's no need to go and add havu de lehosif alo, the way the Gemara would say, that let's not add further to these matters. But undoubtedly, there are people who are machmir, as the person who spoke to me yesterday, that he told me that he's machmir even when it comes to removing begadim, not to remove two begadim at one time.
He's talking about and a coat also, like a winter coat and a shena coat together?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about. Alon gufa da bechina. I'll just give you a few other examples that he mentioned to me yesterday.
Like you're getting your kid ready for pajamas, you take off two things at once, you're saying some would avoid that.
Yes,
but there's no need
some
to.
Would avoid, there's no need to be pashtus, but I'll give you a few other examples since you already are mentioning. What about the person who, this is very common, someone told me that this is what they do in Chutz La'aretz, namely that they have, during the rainy season or when it's raining, so they have shoes and rubbers, so they always keep their rubbers in the winter, they keep their shoes inside the rubbers, as it were. The rubbers are outside and the shoes are inside. Now the question is, putting these two on together, so taking them off together, putting them on together, that continues to be a problem. So I'll pick Svara. It's very easy to say Svaras. I'm excellent at that. So perhaps the rubber has no shame malbush. The question is, what's the status, for example, on Shabbos? It's Nogi Alocha Lamaisa. This is a big discussion among the Doli Apostkin based on the Gemara and Shabbos in the first parak. Because the Gemara says, the Gemara speaks of Atzul Etinuf regarding the Yisur of Hetzal. If something protects my body, so then the Alocha is, it's not called Hetzal. So the issue is with reference to, let's say, a rain hat, which is primarily for the purpose of saving my hat from the rain pelting on it, or for that matter, rubbers, which are primarily for the purpose of protecting my shoes. But often, I would imagine that rubbers also protect your body, because they provide another layer, let's say during the winter when it's cold, when it's raining, so there's another layer that can be utilized actually for the purpose of protecting a person's goof. So maybe that's called as well, it's in the geder of not simply protecting my shoes, but also protecting my goof, and that would be permissible. There are those, I heard, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva of Mechal between a hat covering, which they claim is a shayla, because it's only to protect one's hat, or rubbers that also protect the person's body. I don't know, these chilukim are very chilukim adinim, very subtle, very nuanced kind of chilukim, but I'm saying it might be that the rubbers themselves don't have a shame malbush, except the on Shabbos morning, let's say when you went to shul, it was raining, and then you had rubbers on, and now it's no longer raining. So now, obviously, what's the function of the rubbers? Must I take off those rubbers before I leave the shul, leave them in shul, and not go home with them, assuming there's no air? Let's say, speak about such an area that there's no air. So then the question is, are the rubbers considered to be protecting my body as well? And is this called as well, am I allowed to wear it? Because now maybe it has, it's considered to be two malbushim. I put my feet into my shoes and the shoes are encompassed by the rubbers. Is that called a violation of what the Mishnah Berurah says here, two malbushim? So this issue, as I said, I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan yesterday, he says we're not concerned, he writes that we're not concerned about two Na'alayim biyachad. He doesn't say what the reason is, but I would imagine that here, the shoes and the rubbers serve as a kind of na'alayim. Perhaps one could argue, the Aruch HaShulchan, one could invoke that position that here it's not a problem because you're wearing both the shoes and the rubbers, which are constitute two kinds of shoes. And then I also went looking yesterday, and then I found the Tzitz Eliezer, a sefer that I do have as well, Rav Aldenberg, in Chelek Zayin, Simas HaMafez, he quotes this Aruch HaShulchan, and then he says, in the Gemara, whenever we find these issues, we only find the issues relating to Malbushin, not to Na'alayim. So he doesn't see that Bechlau, that Na'alayim would fall into this category, would be an issue. And the truth of the matter is that there is the Gemara in Shabbos, we know the Gemara has in Kol Kisvei, where the Gemara says that, this is also another very fascinating din. The Gemara says that V'chibaratum yasos t'vachecha. So the Gemara learns out from that passage in Shayo, many dinim relating to Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos, that the Navi says, the Karasa la Shabbos Oneg, the Gdosh Hashem Mechubad, the Chibatum Yasos to Rechecha, and so Chetzecha Vedav Vedavah. Many, many halachas are derived from that Pasuk in the Navi Yishayo. So among the halachas that the Gemara derives are, Shelo Yehei Malbushcha Shel Shabbos Ke Malbushcha Shel Chol. That a person Malbushim on Shabbos should be markedly different than the Malbushim he wears in the course of the week. And the Gemara even gives an example. The Gemara says, let's say a person only has one set of clothing, so the Gemara says Yishal Shel Begadah. Let's say they used to wear a toga, so they could turn it inside out. We'd have difficulty turning our suits inside out.
But meant to lower it, undo the hem or something.
There could be the lashon of Yishal Shel. It can be interpreted in a number of different ways. I think what Rabbi Frank is saying is also correct, that to lower it Yishal Shel Malbusha. But one thing we see that this is what our Soloveitchik understood that Gemara. He understood the Gemara called Kisvei is saying that our Malbushim on Shabbos should be markedly different than the Malbushim we wear during the week. Which means that there are three sets of Malbushim. That's it was Medayik, actually, from Lashonos and the Gemara and the Magen Avraham. There's Malbush that a person wears B'Yimei Achol, and then there's Malbush that a person wears on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, they have to be moved off. That's what the Gemara says. On Yom Tov, they have to be qualitatively different than the begotten that we wear in the course of the week and the course of what we wear on Shabbos. Shabbos just has to be begotten muvdolim. Begadim hanikarim that I'm wearing them lechvot Shabbos, but not necessarily qualitatively superior to the begadim I wear in the course of the week. But that we see that big day chag, for example, the Mishnah Berurah course of Magen Avraham, the Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that one should not wear begadim shel meshi. Apparently, they were accustomed to wearing silk garments on Yom Tov, which are qualitatively superior to the ordinary regular garments that they wore in the course of the week. But then you should not wear Rosh Hashanah because of the Yom Adin. There should be an aspect of din that should be hovering. As the Ramban quotes the Chumash in Emor and in the Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Din Berachamim. So because it's a Yom Din Berachamim, maybe one should be medakdek to not wear big day meshi in order to sort of lower the tones, as it were. But what do you see? That there's a din of malbushim. So now the question is, and this is the question that's relevant to this issue, just one second, namely, in my mechuyev, so they quote the name of the Vilna Gaon, that the Gaon says, Bikaf Regal Ad Rosh. On Shabbos, every single article of clothing has to be different. It has to be miyuchad for Shabbos. It has to be moved for Shabbos. And now the question I'm asking, what about shoes? Must I have a separate pair of shoes for Shabbos as well? So that's the question. Our shoes continue to be subsumed under the rubric of Malbushim, and that's what we're talking about here. Is that continued to be something which is called a Malbush? It's not called a Malbush. Is there halacha that one should have a separate pair of shoes for Shabbos? It would seem, the Pashtus, that Begonim Acherim, I would say, yes, that's the Lashon of the Gemara. Shiloyu Malbushka Shel Shabbos Malbushka Shel Chol. Doesn't say Shiloyu Nalayim Shel Shabbos Shonim Kimalki Nalayim Shel Chol. Doesn't say that. So I would say, well, fair, and again, you have to be Ma'ayin et Achronim. I only saw, I went looking, but I couldn't find sufficient information regarding this matter. I saw, according to the Kaf HaChayim, when the great Dolei Achronim, that he contends that there is no such halacha, that this din only applies to Malbushim, doesn't apply to Nalayim. However, I happen to have a seven pair of shoes for Shabbos. Because I follow many minhagi agro, and the Goyin says that once you change one's entire lavush on Shabbos, mikaf regel agro, so therefore I also have a separate, but I'm sure it's only because chassidus, I'm sure it's not mikra adin, I don't think it's something required. Yeah, I'm sorry, you want to?
Silk, would that apply to a silk tie?
What we spoke about, remember we discussed the Beki Shachiyanu. This fellow bought a tie in Italy for $600. And he was so proud of it, he actually wore it every day. Matter of fact, he even asked me, could he wear it on Shabbos as well? I said, you wear it during the week. You have to buy another baguette, probably of $700 from Italy, a silk tie. You know, that should be not babusha shoshaz, babusha shofo. I would assume, yes, people have.
No, but on Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Rosh Hashanah, I hear what you're asking. Why not? I would assume it's in the same gather as wearing a baguette shel meshi. I was wearing a Beget Shel Anibash Shel Meshi. Why does it have a difference? I don't know, but I'm only saying that.
That's the thing that people mark it, not to wear silk ties on Rosh Hashanah.
I'm just quoting you what the Mishnah Berurah calls the Magen Avraham. He calls such a din, I think people, I mean, they're supposed to, as it were, dress down a little bit on Rosh Hashanah, and one could know that that sense of din should be hovering. And we tried that, the fact we don't say Vida Rosh Hashanah, that's really pretty nikar. Because that indicates that we're so frightened being in the presence of Hashem is Baruch that because of that we don't say Vida. Yom Kippur is a day which is Dafka Yom Simcha, a day of Yom the Kapara, so there we have no difficulty saying Vida in every single tefillah. Hashem Rosh Hashanah, we avoid it. There are other things also in Rosh Hashanah that you see, that element of Din is really, even the Kriyas HaTehillah Rosh Hashanah indicates that as well. That I heard from my Rebbe, Hatzidol Kanatovsky, as I saw a number of times. And also Rav Kook has a discussion on this matter as well, because the Kriyas HaTorah, the first day is the birth of Yitzhak, the second day is Akedas Yitzhak. That's one of the rayas they bring to the Ramban, that it's Yom Din Berachamim. The first day is Din, the second day is Rachamim. The birth of Yitzhak is Pachad Yitzhak, Midas Adin Gvura. That's what Yitzhak is all about. He epitomizes Din. And then the second day, we are okay, the Midas Adin, the Akeda, which was essentially that Vayiko Malacha Velokim HaShamayim, Al Tishach Yotko Lana, Vial Taslo Mahuma, that was the Rachamim that Hashem bound the Din with Rachamim. What the Ramban calls in the Drasha, Ham Tokas Adin. So that's exactly what they. So that's what we're trying to do. We don't want even to give the Sultan. We're so careful. Again, we don't blow Shavuot Rosh Hashanah in order to somehow La'arve v'sah Sultan, because the Sultan is ready. Rasot lo me'alimino l'sitno. He's ready to go in for the kill. And we want to try to avoid even Simonim, since the Gemara says Simonim milsahi. We want to avoid any simonim that also might smack of din. So I imagine it would apply to the silk tie as well. I don't see why it should be a distinction between silk godim and silk ties. Yeah, I just want to
make the shoes. So from what you're saying, if shoes are not a malbush, and for Shabbos you don't need special shoes, sound like shoes that you shouldn't make a shachiyanu.
We don't. It's Ramah. Ramah says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't make a shachiyanu on shoes because since you had to kill an animal, and Berachem Aval Kol Masav, it's a reference to the Gemara Babetzia, with reference to Rebbe, Rabbi Anosi, that when the eagle came and wanted to hide under his skirts, so to speak, because he was about to relate to Shrita, so Rebbe said to the eagle, that's your tafkid, you have the Yuel the Shrita. And so at that point, because of that, the eagle went to Shrita, and Rebbe had a toothache for 13 years, and then 13 years later, there was a group of kittens, and Rebbe had Rachmanas on them, and the toothache abated, dissipated. So the Ramah calls it Shulchan Aruch, actually, Hilchos Brachos, he mentioned this, we don't make Shachiyanu on Nalayim because of this element, because of Rachem Aval Kol Masav.
Also, a lot of jacking we make.
Yeah, so this is also a discussion in the Poskim regarding that today. I don't think it's politically correct to wear, people used to wear, my days, they used to wear
fur
coats and mink coats.
Carver leather seats.
What was that?
Carver leather seats.
Correct. It was very cut today. It's someone of that who walks like that in the streets, wow. I think there might be a Sovik Sakona. People who are concerned about rights. They're concerned about everyone's rights, with the exception of human beings. But anyway, the kitzur, so we have here this halacha. I just want to mention also in this Mishnah Berurah, we refer to a few other things, kasha l'shicha. Kriya saksav agabi keber. Mishnah Berurah mentions here also reading the writing on a matzeva. Somehow people seem to, when they go to a matzeva, they read the matzevos all the time. And many people ask me many shilas about matzevos. Amazing how many questions I get regarding the writing of a matzeva, how to write it, whether one could write in English on a matzeva. And could you put, someone just asked me recently, they wanted to put something which I didn't feel was appropriate on a matzeva. They asked me if the person who passed away was a very into a sports aficionado. So they wanted to make some reference to the fact that they're a sports aficionado on the matzeva. And they asked me, why is it awesome, Ikra Din? So I thought it was a Shiloh Loi Lerosh. And I thought it was also al pi halacha. I told them I don't think they should do it. And someone asked me about writing in English, and someone asked me about writing, about putting a tziur, because the person who was nifta was a tzayar, was an artist. So they wanted to put some of that tziurim on the keber, so so people should remember that this fellow was a tzayar. I said, maybe you could write that he was a tzayar, write that in the particular, in the whatever you're going to write, the ksav and the keber, but I don't think you should put pictures there, things of that sort. What was that?
The Kohan and the
Lord. No, so that is a kasha that they asked. So there, they claim this is a, it's not done so much today, you should know, but it was done in Kvarim about many years ago. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zatzal always told over the story, the person who was a Kohen but did not know, because he didn't come, he wasn't observant, he wasn't from, and he met a woman who's a Grusha, and they're about to mamash get married. And so they came to Rav Soloveitchik, and for some reason the person had some chash that maybe there was something amiss with this shidduch. So he went to the Rav, so Rav Soloveitchik had no way. He told him, go to the keber of your grandparents and see if there's anything there. So he went to the keber, and sure enough, there was a picture of their grandfather who was a kohen with outstretched arms. As this was already an issue of yichus, an issue of the divan halacha, where it's a question of yichus. Then apparently yesh makom nine lahokel, but it might even be a good thing. So we should know exactly who's who. Viva mi ahokel. And as a result of that, this marriage did not take place. Our salvation was somehow able to convince them with all the difficulty. Probably something like that would not happen today. People call me all the time, not all the time, but unfortunately often enough that I can say literally all the time. I even have people who were talmidim of mine, and they are kohanim, and they want to go to medical school. And this is not an uncommon thing to meet doctors who go to medical school. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that Zatzal, writes in one place that afilu Eliyahu Hanavi yavo v'yagid li she muta lekohanim v'kones lebeisefer lerefuah en shomim lo. So he writes, I'm going to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's a horse. It's not there, but it's in one of the Kutresin, the Torah Vilayra of MTJ, Masif the Fes Yushalayim. So I think that the Kever, as far as the Kohanim, that's different, because that's an issue of Yichus, of identity, and that's something that we have to try to. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a minig in Boston, in Maimonides, he had a minig at a practice when they wrote on a test paper, what's your name? My name is Aaron Halevi Rumpel. He had to identify his yichus, and a bechina that he took in some class, some secular class.
First.
What?
Maybe has to grade them first.
He felt there's a halacha that kiddushta is saying. There's a halacha that a person should. In fact, he had raya from Gemara's he brought to this idea. I don't think that's generally accepted. La halacha, I don't think people necessarily, but it's a good thing, obviously, that a person should know exactly where he's at and who he is. I just want to mention one of
the
things you got. What?
What was that, through the shoes?
No, it's just the Dachaga, this came about.
No, the
same
thing.
Reading the Ksav on a Keber, and also where you indicate the presence of Kohen. But I want to mention also in this regard that the Kisra Manach writes very clearly the Ksav on a Keber is only a problem, Kosher L'Shicha, if it's bolet, if it's, shall we say, if it's protruding. But the way we have, usually the Ksav is just engraved on the kever, on the tombstone, and it's not actually, generally, I think the ksav is shakua. It's embedded in the tombstone. Kemat, all the Quran that I've seen, that's the way they are written. So therefore, that's not considered to be a problem. That's written very carefully. I saw also in the Sefer, there's a very fantastic sefer that because of this shiur, so I was here with Zaki meeting about 10,000 other ways, and here another zikur that you had, I started looking at this sefer. Someone gave it to me many years ago. It's called the Shmiras HaGufa HaNefesh, two volumes. What a sefer. Unbelievable what's there. I can't even begin to describe to you. I cannot never looked at it in my entire life. And now I'm looking at it all the time. I have it right in front of me now. So this sefer, so he quotes from the Yosef Ometz, an early Achron in Germany, that he writes over there that something very fascinating, which I always wondered about. Usually when people go to a kever, so what do people do? That they put stones on the kever. They leave, this is a minhag Yisrael, apparently goes back early days, this minhag. If you go to a kever, then you put stones there. You put some pebbles there, some stones there. What's that for? He writes, I'm a doctor again. He writes, Neisnim avonim ala matzeva, shezem moyil limnoya shichecha. That's in order to prevent shichecha. Because here we have an issue of what? We ask tzav agavi kever. So you're right there. You're in the plunter, as it were. And therefore, in order to go ahead and address that issue, at that moment in time, you go ahead and, I thought the reason was a different time. I thought the reason was in order that the nifter should be some indication that someone was there, that someone actually came to go ahead and be, came to the keber. And there should be a kind of zecher that you leave. Okay, that's what kach shamati, okay. You can, yesh makom ladud b'kal dvar
meilu. And if you put it there, he'll know. If you don't put it there, he won't know. Either he knows or he doesn't know.
So this is a
fair people, but he's saying for the mace. I don't understand that.
Saying, but anyway, he brings in this sefer, Shmiras HaGuf HaNefesh, he quotes this very fascinating time, which I thought was really very significant. But I also saw him quoted the Be'er Hetev. If you look at Reish Chavdalin, the Be'er Hetev actually quotes this in Sivkot Chafes, and he brings from the Marash that you take Tzvor, or you take desha, sometimes people take grass, put it on the matzeva. He said, for a different time. He said, Mishum kavod hames. He says, Shehoya Shom al Kibro. That's likely what I said, Rabbi Feinberg, that he quotes the Be'er Hetev. I went looking because I knew I heard this, and I found in the Be'er Hetev. He said, to indicate, okay, whether the base did know, did not know, base of nish. But I'm just telling you that this is these are some of the, I just wanted to mention one or two other matters, maybe we should leave it till tomorrow because it will lead us into something else. Okay, we'll leave that there. Tomorrow we'll continue, Mr. Hashem, on this way.
Is there anything they put a rock there, like if someone was high of skila or something? Is that?
It's not the same. It could be not.